You ever been so broke that you start to contemplate different things you can invest your money in? You can flip your money. You can try to get more coins so that you won't be broke. And the things that you think about doing with your money, anybody in their right mind who has money wouldn't deal with these things just for the simple fact that they are risky returns of investment. Like, they're, I wouldn't even say of investment, because it's just risky. Risky returns. Your money might not return, but you contemplate your dollar anyway, just for the simple fact that you are broke and you are tired. Well, today we're going to dedicate an episode to talking about those risky investments and why it's important that you thoroughly think about what you're engaging in when you are low on money, why you're engaging in it, and how it definitely can impact your financial future. So for the Broke Black Bougie podcast, we're going to politic today about risky investments. You ever been so low on cash that you start contemplating different ways you can make money real quick, because this is a survival tactic and you absolutely desperately need money now, or you know that you're going to approach a situation where you're going to be financially tapped? In broke land, we've all been there, whether our account has been in the negative couple of hundreds or just a few coins over $0. We've been in a situation where our money has been so low that we're trying to figure how to get it right. And it often tempts us to engage in certain practices that are absolutely risky and may be more costly to us in the future. Case in point, I was reached out to by a loved one to join a group where I would make an initial investment of $500 and eventually get roughly $3,500 back over the course of 4 weeks. I would be in this cycle, rotating for about 4 weeks consistently and breaking individuals in so they could grow the pot of money, make the one-time investment, and continue to utilize our network to grow. Now, for those of you who don't know, typically this is based off of the practice of the susu. And what the susu is kind of like a microfinance tactic on a very small scale that has existed for centuries, in which people pay into a pool and to get money back. At a glance, right, the susu is a pooling savings method that definitely has roots to African countries, and countries particularly in the Caribbean. It's a financial service, or a form of a financial service, for individuals, many of which who may be out of reach of accessing certain loans from banks or certain savings, because financially they may not be where they need to be. And it's been a tradition that exist on every continent of the world, because not only is it happening in across the African diaspora, other communities have utilized these same methods to catapult and build generational stability, and also bring their family members and loved ones into pools to get right. Right. So with this being said, how does it typically work? So a group of people pay a regular fixed sum into a pool, which will be held by a susu collector. And each time group members make a contribution, one of them receives the entire lump sum. So for example, if 20 people come into this this group and each pay $20 each, right? The entire pool at one point in time, they each will be receiving $400. And so for the ones that receive the first couple payments, it also acts as like an interest-free loan, right? And so you don't have any interest rates. It's not supposed to be a get-rich-quick scam. It's just helping people move and propel themselves forward. And so it provides, number one, either a cheap credit or something that is a financial pool of more money, right? That may not otherwise be available, and allows individuals to be able to capitalize off of an entrepreneur idea they may have, whether it's, you know, some entrepreneur practices that a bank may be like, we're not going to give you money. Number two, they may be an individual just trying to reach their savings goals. And so they're paying into the pools with the intentions of being able to capitalize off of their coins and reaching a point where not only are they financially stable, but they have this consistent form of helping them build towards what it is that they desire. And the thing about it is, susus on a smaller scale are typically done with family members or friends. And I'm not going to say as of late, because susus have always been here. There are some susus that are older than my black ass and that have existed for a very long time. But there are certain communities where the susu network is so large, it exists across state borders. And different individuals from different academic disciplines, different trades that are collectively coming together and building a susu and saying, hey, you pay into this, you get this much out, you bring in other people, we have a flower that is collectively growing, okay, to the point where everybody not only is able to eat, but is able to reach a financial goal over the course of a certain time period. And this is how we're going to build generational wealth. Why is this important? For a few reasons. Number one, in the black community, there has been discriminatory practices preventing us to be able to access certain loans, basic loans, in comparison to our white counterparts, where we're able to set up shop and open up businesses and be able to build generational stability for ourselves. Okay. Number two, black economics is extremely important because our community has been deprived for so long. Creating a space where black people and that dollar rotates consistently between our community is extremely critical in ensuring that we're able to access not only what it is that we need, but we're really in a space where we're not deprived for anything. And number three, we have to take a look at black poverty, right? I don't necessarily think that black poverty can be resolved with susus, because there are a lot of individuals who tap into susus who financially just don't got it, probably won't have it for some time, and are in desperate need, okay, of some coins. But I do think it helps people to level up, where they may be able to take care of their bills. And, you know, this is something that they would have been saving it anyway, right? So they pay into this and do get a little reward back. But the susu itself does come with, I don't want to say consequences, because traditionally speaking, when we look at the susu, there shouldn't be any consequences. But because susus are often ran by humans, humans make errors, and sometimes humans move with the illest, okay, the illest of intentions. And so you get individuals who are running susus or saying that this is a susu, but it's really a scam. And it's really for them to eat. They're taking the money, or they're in charge of the money, or people are very fickle when it comes to making sure that there's some type of transparency. And not only does somebody miss out, but people are scammed out of their coins. And so what I've seen recently as of late on social media is all of these different posts centered on having an individual pay $100 to get $8,000, or having an individual pay $200 to get $16,000, and it seems too good to be true. Then having individuals told that they need to bring in two people in order to bring in the money and have some coins be met. Or if the two people don't bring in the money, then they don't get their money, or somebody doesn't get paid because the distribution pool is rigged. And that's the type of shit that I have a problem with in terms of get rich schemes, because now you're playing with people's livelihood. You're trying to taint what you're trying to take the productivity of a susu. And furthermore than that, you're making it extremely hard for people to flesh out or formulate for themselves an opinion on whether or not a susu is the right thing for them. So here are some of the things that I've come across. One of my favorite YouTubers to watch is Funky Dineva. Funky Dineva has been in the media business for a very long time and definitely started out doing videos centered on what's going on with other people's lives in Hollywood, and their shit took off, okay? And rightfully so. And rightfully so, because Funky Dineva does this. And they recently had a video that was released on July 24th about everybody and their mama who's claiming on cashing out on big money boards, where you put a small amount of money in and receive 8 times the amount in return. What is a susu? Is it a scam? And should you invest? So they started to talk about it. And the comments have been a little bit weird, but it's definitely a highlight of what I've been seeing at a bigger scale. So first things first, somebody said, I know a pyramid when I see one. Somebody on them outer rings ain't going to get paid. 128 likes. Another individual posted, actually, the people I know, they have done it and have cashed out. Even some very close to me got around $12,000. And so because the payout was that high, people were questioning whether or not this was actually legit, what was going on, and who's the individual tied to this. And the woman explained that it was $12,000. The individuals who are doing this pool are Black professionals, and they're either attorneys or nurses. They're in some type of a field where all you had to put in is $500, and there were so many people that the amount was that high, and it depends on the type of groups you join, right? Who's in these groups and how committed they are to ensuring that everybody gets paid eventually during their rotation. Another individual pointed out that their college admissions advisor called them with this bullshit, knowing that everybody in their circle was hit up on hard financial times. So there were a few laughs about that, because it's like, why would you do that, especially if somebody is not in a good space? Then another individual who's on this post pointed out that eventually you're going to have to give all the money back. Eventually, that is true. If you're paying bi-weekly or weekly into this pool, or let's say you join a pool and you only have to do a one-time investment, maybe you don't have to pay it back, but depending on the turnaround of the susu, the individuals who are tapping in to the group, and what the payments, how the payments exist, or how much money is coming in, that may not be something that you have to give back completely. And another individual said, I was trying to convince my friend not to do it because I don't play with money. Even in my hometown, okay, there was a video released by an entrepreneur that spoke about individuals who were doing these money boards, and she actually lost her money because they decided to shut down, and there was some type of conversations looming where they were scamming people. People were saying that they didn't get paid. And ultimately, those who were starting this money board, not susu, but money board, because a susu wouldn't do you like that, were in on it. And some people was like, you know, I just can't be a part of this. And more than over 300 people lost their coins. This is where things turn red, because we are in a pandemic. And there are so many people in need right now, as I reiterated earlier, that don't have access to being able to get a loan, may need money, and it's my money and I need it now, who need their shit now. And they're being played with. And so her being an entrepreneur, she explained that $100 is not something she was worried about because she knew she would get it back. It's the principle, because there were single mothers who were in need of some assistance and maybe risked a few of their last coins to jump into this group with the expectation that they could get some coins out of it and be able to help their families. That's important. And it's important because we know that single mothers are definitely a vulnerable population, and a population that is highly known for dealing with being in poverty. And for those who have lived in poverty for a long period of time, and for those of us who have experienced what it's like to be in constant need, when you look for something as to help you, as whether it be a get rich quick scheme, whether it be something with the expectation that it will give you more than what you're putting in, you can't play with people's lives like that. And so there are various reasons why people join these groups, right? Whether it is they're trying to get their financial feet on the board, whether it is they need a quick turnaround with their finances, whether it is they're just trying to get into the groove of saving or having a support community. Having a supportive community of individuals who not only take care of each other, right, but really care about making sure that other people eat. It was extremely sad that she shared it. And I wasn't too shocked about that it happened in my hometown. And her video went all the way around, you know, pretty much a viral within our Rochesterian community, because Rochester is a place where poverty is so high that there are individuals trying to get it by any means necessary. And so they look at the idea of a susu in the middle of a pandemic as a way to scam people out of their money. And then what that becomes is it's not a susu, because it's not operating like how a susu operates. You guys are putting all of these little additional, oh, in order for you to get the money and oh, don't forget about the, you know, and that's not how it's supposed to move, which is typically why people tell you if you're going to join a susu, it's very important for you to do your research. It's very important for you to make sure that it is not such a high risk where you are going to be asked out. And furthermore, that you don't get taken advantage of. Some folks don't even want to do it within their own family because their own family just as grimy as strangers. It is sad, but it's the truth. So then you got a situation where it's just like, well, how can I build some type of stability within this framework of what a susu is? I think that if you want to be really successful with a susu, you need to go to individuals you trust. And maybe y'all need to start that shit on y'all own. Because joining into these other people boards, you don't know who running this. You don't know if these individuals trustworthy. It is a risk, okay? There is no guarantee. There is no contract. You know, there is no protections for you that exist. Just because you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody don't mean that they won't fuck you over. It's really important that you do your research or you work within your community of people that you trust. And you better make sure that once money is involved, shit don't go left. Because you got those individuals that'll put the 500 in and be like, oh, I need my 500 back today. And typically, that's not how it's supposed to work. I was even more surprised that there are some people who's like, oh, yeah, put in 100, you get a same day payout for 8,000. Same day payout? Oh, y'all really trying to rob people of their coins. Because I ain't never heard no shit like that in my life. Same day payout. Or yeah, same day scam. So there's another example of getting over on individuals that is definitely a risky investment that may not be a get rich quick scheme, but it's helping to give people a tool that can perhaps help them gain a little bit more leverage and stability within their finances. And those are credit repair companies. Now, I must say that I don't believe that credit repair companies, all of them are scams, right? There are many credit repair companies that do provide free services and consulting to individuals in need for free, okay? And yes, their employees do get paid. There are companies that have efficient tactics that actually work, giving people a game plan, making sure that they're able to clean up their messes, and doing it at a space where, all right, if you owe some credit or you need to do some paying back, you're doing it not in a way that is going to put you into a hole, but you can manage with your lifestyle. And those are companies that I respect. On the flip side of this, there are companies that are charging outrageous fees to help people build their credit, creating a lucrative business. And it very much so goes against the grain for people. And I don't think people really think this through. Like, a lot of the stuff that you're doing, charging people up to 500% increase on accessing your services, even if you are an entrepreneur, whatever that may be, is outrageous, because your market is helping those who are dealing with economic anxiety and are economically insecure. And so if you're going to charge these outrageous rates because you're like, oh, you know, I need to make a profit from this, and I know that this person is going to be able to benefit from XYZ, you're not in the business for the right reasons. And maybe that's just me having a lens on really caring about those who are in need, but I don't see it that way. And I say this to say, number one, I've been an individual that had to rebuild their credit. And the way that I did it was educating myself and also being able to take those tools and help other people without exploiting them. Like, it's just really disgusting. But typically, these how these scams are set up. Number one, they fail to provide their client with the proper information. So if you're helping an individual with their credit and you're going to be charging them or whatever you're doing with your business, you need to give them a consumer credit file rights under the state and federal law. And it informs you of not only how to obtain your credit report and the right you have to obtain your credit report, but any inaccurate information that may exist, how to dispute it, and understanding that you have the ability to do all of these services on your own, not needing a company. Number two, the company requests upfront payment. Now, there are many honest companies that do this. And so some people may be like, oh, they may be unaware of this. That shit doesn't fly, because you being unaware of the services that you provide or charging people when you shouldn't be charging people creates more harm to the person you're supposed to be serving. And for me, that's frustrating, because I was in a predicament where I remember I was trying to land an apartment, and the apartment that I really wanted tried to snake me because they didn't know housing laws. And so regardless of somebody's history with their credit, you are not supposed to discriminate against them in New York State because of their past credit score, or anything that shows that they had some discrepancies on their report. It actually happened to me, and she tried to charge me damn near $5,000 to $6,000 to move in when it should have been $3,000. And when I read her, she told me, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know the law. Could you imagine if I didn't know New York State law? Could you imagine if I didn't know that there were housing rights to protect me as a New York State citizen? Could you imagine that this motherfucker would have gotten over on me? Regardless of whether or not she knew, or it was something that she was just like, oh. For me, you can't be in the business of something and not know your laws and how shit works. It's a disservice. And it's a disservice that I don't want to be a part of. So whether or not they are an honest company, they should know that this $5,000 paying me up front, $10,000 paying me up front is absolutely ridiculous. Damn it, the most you should charge. At this point, I'm not even, it's just frustrating. We're just going to move it along. Number three, promising individuals to remove information that is true on their report is problematic. Okay? If it belongs on your report and it's something that you have not done, or they're engaging in shady practices, that's some scammer shit.
Oh, so now you got me thinking that you want me to pay you $5,000 because you're going to remove some shit that actually should be in my report. Oh, make some shit work for me. Like, what? Damn, if you're going to do that, do it for free. Charge $50. Do a little something so you can help a little bit more people, because not everybody got it like that where they can game the system. All right, number four. No contract is presented before addressing the action that is supposed to be done. This word of mouth shit don't work when you're actually supposed to be helping people. You got to make sure that you dot your I's and you cross your fucking T's. And a contract is important because, once again, remember when I said about the susu not having anything written down or not having those protections? When you're dealing with people having access to very private information, your consumer information, your social security number, you need to make sure you have protections in place so that you don't get effed over. So that your social security number isn't stolen, your shit is not sold to other people. Like, you have to put those protections in play. Number five, you have to make sure that the contract you do have doesn't include the following: a specific timeline. Not that it doesn't include the following. You need to make sure, I have to backtrack a bit. You need to make sure that the shit that's being presented to you, credit repair organizations are not supposed to lie to you about your credit history, whether it's your current or future creditors you may have. They're not supposed to alter your identity to get you a new EIN number or new identity so you could have a new credit history. They are supposed to literally help you progress through the big mess that you have and elevate so that you can maneuver in this toxic ass space that relies on the fucking credit score in the first place. They're not supposed to misrepresent the services they're giving you or ask you to pay up front before shit has even been provided. It just typically don't work that way. Now, there are contracts and there are people who may set things up and say, by this day, I would need a payment of X, Y, and Z or whatever. But, you know, typically there are services that are provided to clients for free to help them increase their credit score and work towards elevating shit. This is not shit that happens overnight. I remember talking to someone and having them telling me, like, I know somebody who could, like, work with some numbers and do EIN, and I think she could help me and you. And I was like, let me tell you something. One thing I don't play with is the feds, okay? Another thing I don't play with is the feds, and I have no intentions of dealing with these motherfuckers. So with that being said, I'm not paying nobody to get me no EIN, and it ain't no guarantee that I'm gonna be straight and not be harmed by the services this individual is providing. It is not that deep. I'm gonna take the other route. It's gonna take me a little bit longer to build my shit, but I'm gonna be Gucci. I'm gonna be able to get the loan that I desire, to get the credit line that I access for, that I have access to, rather, and get the best rates just by doing this myself. And to this day, that individual is still in the same boat that they are in, and I have elevated because I didn't choose that quick scam shit. Get the hell out of here. You see how mad it makes me? It's just, it's so weird. But with credit repair contracts, right, the requirements that they're supposed to give to you is you need to know the payment amount that is required if they're giving you if they're requiring a payment. You know, there must be some type of cancellation period that expires. There must have the description of services that will be performed to repair your credit, an estimation of the time it will take to complete services, right? It is not a get rich quick scheme. That's what you have to understand about your credit, and it takes time to build, okay? So just because you knock something off overnight don't mean everything is going to be like that. You understand what I'm saying? It takes time to get there. You have to be able to elevate. And it needs to also have a visible statement letting you know that you can cancel your contract within 3 days. Sometimes people may, you know, oh, I'll vary it and da 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 da. Oh, you're not going to be. No. It's supposed to be 3 days that you're able to cancel the contract. And the reason why they allow you that time is because if you decide that you no longer want to do business with them, you don't have to be charged for that fee, right? And your contract should also include a notice of cancellation form that you can fill out and return and say, hey, I'm canceling the contract. But it has to be within that time frame. So it works to protect the person who is providing you services and also you providing service, you as the individual receiving services. Typically, we have this segment on here, To Catch a Coin, where we provide you with tips on how to keep more coins into your wallet. The reality is, needless to say, that this whole episode was dedicated to catching a coin, right? Because it was providing you with tips on understanding get-rich-quick schemes, understanding legal, right, operations of helping people build financial stability for themselves in the loopholes that exist with people trying to scam over individuals who are trying to do the right thing and just get it on the good foot. So with that being said, I want to leave you with some last tips to help you maneuver these spaces. If you feel like you're joining something that is too good to be true, it probably is. So it is important, whether or not you can come up off of a certain experience or situation, make sure you do your research first. Make sure you understand the risks that are involved, the people who are doing X, Y, and Z. And more so, if you are willing to sacrifice your coins in order, because anything you do is a risk potentially. If you don't understand or the people involved, their intentions or their line of work. So it's very important that you understand the risk involved, because it's to protect you. And are you willing to take that risk? If you have only $500 to your name, does it make sense? Okay, does it make sense to risk 2/3 of it or all of it just for the simple fact that you want to have more access to money? I understand some people might be like, yes, but the reality is no, because if that's all you got and then you give it and it's gone, you don't got nothing. So now you're in a worse predicament you were in before you entered into this gamble. Stop gambling with yourself. When we gamble with ourselves, and sometimes when we become so gullible, especially in Brooklyn, we end off in a worse predicament than before. So we really have to remain cautious. And furthermore than that, it's really important to ask yourself questions, to do research, to inform yourself on these schemes, because you don't want to be an individual that ends up tapped out. So remember, there is some legality that comes with get-rich-quick schemes, right? It may seem like they're advanced free scams where you don't have to pay up front, but there's still something that's a heavy cost to it. It may feel like a Ponzi scheme where it offers an exorbitant amount of returns, right, for a very small investment, but it might be a big investment to you. Hell, it may be a situation where there is a mixture of schemes, right, that involve exchanging money for a certain product with a side bonus being added to a waiting list for a product of a greater value or given amount. Typically, they call that, you know, a matrix scheme. Or a lot of people even say, hey, that this is a part of a pyramid scheme. Nevertheless, all of this shit is unsustainable. And you cannot play with your life when it comes to being unsustainable, because that is no way to survive. With that being said, I'd like to thank you all for listening to another episode of the Broke Black Bougie podcast. I hope you avoid the shit out of these scams. I hope you're able to center yourself and figure out what it is that you really need. And always remember to do more research because you can never fail when you do more research, because you're protecting yourself. And that's what the fuck matters. Remember, even in moments that it seems, oh, this is legal, you know, I think this will be a good catch or come up for me, do your research. Do your research, do your research, do your research. I can't reiterate it enough. Because there are some schemes that seem like they're really legal, that they're really doing some good shit, and it impacts you. If you decide that you want to go the susu route, susus, remember, susus traditionally are not scams. Susus traditionally are not scams. Okay, they are meant to help build and leverage individuals to access coins that they probably wouldn't be able to have access to. It's a microfinance community. So with that being said, if you're going to join one, do your research on the susu, do your research on the people involved, and make sure you take into account the risks that are involved. If you decide that you want to create your own susu with your network and the community of people you have around you, do your research. Make sure everybody understands what are the rules, what does it mean to be involved in this susu, right? Making sure that people don't lose their money, because people can't afford to lose their money during this time. And also making sure that everybody can eat. This is the purpose of it. Not exploiting other people so that only a few of y'all can eat, but that everybody can eat. And with that being said, I want to thank you all for listening to another episode of the Broke Black Bougie podcast. I hope you stay scam free. I hope you increase your research when it comes down to things that you're invested in. And also, always remember that if the risk is higher than the reward, you might not want to mess with it.